I'm going to share a few words from Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Heavenly Father, we pray your leading and guiding as we take a look at this name and other names of Jesus that all have different and special meanings. And we could spend our time studying each of these names, handed out here Old Testament names. But this is the name of Jesus. And there are many more names listed that are given also in the New Testament. And we give you the honor and the glory for the giving of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, Martin Luther wrote one time, "The gospel requires us to preach on circumcision and the name of Jesus." And then he said, "And this we will do." And so we call this day, of course, the first Sunday after Christmas, and it involves the circumcision of Jesus, as we have read from Luke chapter 2, verse 21. It was the rule for children to receive their names at the time they were presented at the temple. That's the boys, anyway. Jesus was not an exception to the practice, and so his parents brought him to the temple and gave direction for the name of Jesus to be given him as it was directed to them by the angels who appeared to them. The name was given to Jesus, the name of Jesus, because out of obedience to God the Father, and it became his human name. Jesus is his human name. Christ is his divine name. In Matthew 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." God with us. So when Jesus was brought to the temple for circumcision, he was virtually fulfilling the works of the Jewish law and the command of God. And Galatians tells us Jesus was born under the law, though, so that he might redeem those who are under the law. And so the operation of circumcision pointed to the removal of sin. It pointed toward the need of the heart to be cleansed from sin, cleansed by God. And it is clear in Scripture that the removal of sin is connected with holy baptism today. And a careful study of Scripture points to that fact. It's interesting when we read Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, which speaks about baptism and circumcision. "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him ye are made full, who is the head, the principality and power, in whom ye were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh," or the old nature, or the sinful part of us, in the circumcision of Christ. "Having been buried with him," Colossians says, "in baptism, wherein ye also are raised also with him through faith, in the working of God and the raising from the dead." So baptism now today replaces circumcision. Baptism is therefore a means of grace for us today in the church, given to us by the Lord. And the sacrament of holy baptism has cleansing power. Why does it have cleansing power? Because the Bible says that it has cleansing power. An example of this is seen in the life of the Apostle Paul. We talked about in our Acts study, in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. His host, Ananias, told Paul, "Why are you waiting? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on his name." So there was no removal of sin in circumcision. It was an Old Testament event done on the eighth day. But circumcision merely points towards the forgiveness that Jesus Christ would accomplish for us. He removes sin through his innocent sufferings and death and resurrection. And this is the source of grace. Jesus is the grace. Jesus is the source of all that is good for us. Jesus is the source for forgiveness. He gives this grace in baptism. Baptism is definitely a means of providing grace for us. And we believe that this grace that is given in baptism will be lost unless the baptized person remains in the covenant of their baptism and renews their relationship to the Lord. And this can happen before confirmation, at confirmation, or after confirmation. We do not accept the teaching, the false doctrine, once baptized, always saved. And in Colossians 2:11 through 15, he says, "In whom ye were also circumcised with the circumcision then made, not with hands." And that is holy baptism. We also teach that the gift of faith given us in baptism is not mixed with faith to no avail. Baptism connected with the wonderful name of Jesus Christ cleanses us and forgives us of our sin. It is because Jesus Christ does the cleansing. So enclosed in our bulletin today that ushers handed out is a list of Old Testament names for Jesus. It should make a good study for any one of us. I think this is a worthwhile study for us personally or family devotional. And there are many, many other names given to the name of Jesus seen in the Gospel of John and in the book of Revelation. But these are the Old Testament names. In Revelation, Jesus, as an example, is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is called man. He's called God. He's called the servant of God. He's called the good shepherd, the divine physician, the prophet, priest, king, Lord, the way, the truth, and the life, the bread, the door, the vine, the judge, resurrection, the scapegoat, surety, mediator, Emmanuel, and the Word, and much more he's called in the New Testament. Still, all these names of Jesus stands Jesus' name the most. This name thrills the hearts of all of us today. His name gives joy, it gives confidence, it gives trust. And I conclude that the name Gabriel gave to our Savior is the most wonderful name, and as we have sung this morning, it is the least complex. It is the easiest to understand. His name will be called Jesus. Why? Because he will take away from his people their sins. Jesus' name means atonement, at one-ment. Jesus' death on the cross means atonement for our sins. Jesus paid the supreme sacrifice for our sins, for us. Jesus made full satisfaction, as we say, in the communion service for our sins. But not ours only, but for the sins of the entire world, all who would believe. The name of Jesus means access. Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So, we have access to God. We have access to God the Father through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus saves. He redeems. He frees. He forgives and forgets. We come with boldness. There is no other way but to come with boldness. Well, you cannot say, "Here I am, you're sure lucky, God, that I'm praying to you today. You're sure lucky, have me on your side." That's quite the opposite of what we're talking about. Access to God is through faith and humility coming into His presence. And the accesses continue, and we can have access to God, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit at any time. That's atonement. It's continue. "My little children, I write unto you that you may not sin or practice sin. But if any person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world." What a wonderful message. He's running, walking parallel to us. You know, you go into the gymnasium, there are parallel bars. And when you look here and there, people walk parallel. And there are roads running parallel, right alongside another road. And that is when we walk with Jesus, He walks right beside us, praying for us, petitioning God the Father for our immediate forgiveness, even without our sin, our prayer. We believe, as the Catechism says, that the things of God come indeed without our prayer. But we ask in this petition that they also may come to us. And we have been chosen. You have been chosen before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before Him in love. We have been foreordained, pre-adopted to be His sons and His daughters according to the pleasure of His will. Ephesians 1. Every believer, our names, your name, as a believer, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are assured of it. Why are we assured of it? Because the Bible says so. We have confidence in Jesus. The Spirit Himself gives witness to our spirit, as Romans 8:16 says, that we are the children of God, that we belong to the family of God. And Jesus' name means authority. Satan and all his unholy company is going to bow at the name of Jesus. When we are tempted, Jesus provides a way of escape that we may be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I think being a Christian is like continually being in God's courtroom. We continually sin. We are prone to sin. We sin even when we don't know we are sinning. Yet, through faith in Christ, He intercedes for us. It would be fun for each of us to study these names of Jesus. Fun to study the claims of Jesus for Himself. It would draw us closer to Jesus. And that's what's intended too as we take Holy Communion today. It's open to all who know Christ as Savior. Because Jesus Christ makes us able to take communion. It is we come here because we know Christ on His basis, on His authority. So, and we draw closer to Him this morning through the taking of Holy Communion. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all these names. But the name of Jesus stands out first. This is a simplified name. He came to take away our sins. And that is exactly what He did. Take away the sins of everyone who believes. And is waiting patiently for those who do not and have not assurance of their salvation. So we thank You, Lord, for the privilege of taking communion this morning. everyone is cordially invited to come. In Jesus' name, amen.